Next guest is a retired physicist, author of a new book called Dumb Energy, A Critique of Wind and Solar Energy, joins us on our Newsmaker line today. And that's Norman Rogers. Hi, Norman. How are you?
I'm doing great, Scott.
Thank you for the time. So a listener of ours heard about your book, sent it on, said, would you have this fellow on? I have always been an all-of-the-above energy person, right? I mean, for the most part, saying, hey, if it makes sense and it's private property and you want to do it, you go ahead and do it, right? Now, the exception being, obviously, these subsidies. And we've had those on ethanol as an example, as well as wind's production tax credit go away. But you critique this from the standpoint of a scam. You believe it is it's a money making scam. Who's making the money?
Well, quite a few people: the manufacturers of wind turbines, the utility companies that actually get higher profits because they build useless wind turbines, the various scientists and consultants that work on this, a lot of lawyers, politicians that get contributions from these guys. A lot of people are making money from it. I like to modify that all of the above. I think you should say all of the above, as long as it's sensible.
Yeah, well, I mean, we do mean that, and I mean there are critics of all of them. So I don't disagree, and certainly wind is cut into the market share of coal, which is very important in North Dakota. So, you know, you want to balance that as well. But I've talked to a lot of landowners who say, you know, I get a nice little chunk of change from several of these on my property. I made the decision. I want to do it. You get neighbors who I've heard from that say, yeah, well, that's fine. But it isn't like, you know, you built a blue house and I built a brown one. Now you've got this monstrosity there that is, you know, cutting into the landscape. So there's that as well. What's dumb about it, Norman? Why do you say it's dumb energy?
Well, it's dumb because every wind turbine has to be backed up by a conventional power plant, usually a natural gas plant. So you have to really build two complete sets of plants. For every wind turbine farm, you have somewhere lurking in the background a natural gas plant that takes over every time the wind stops blowing. So the question is, what is the wind turbine really contributing? All it's contributing is that when it's actually running, maybe it slows down the consumption of natural gas a little bit in the backup plants. It is truly useless. And if you work through all the numbers, you find out that about 70% of the cost is subsidized. And it's subsidized by the taxpayers, you know, with the production tax credit. It's subsidized because they have a special tax deal. It's called tax equity financing. It's subsidized because they get long-term power contracts that put them in a privileged position. And when you put all the numbers together, it's about 70% subsidized. And it's the taxpayers and the consumers of electricity are paying for that. So I think that's a pretty good case that it's dumb. I mean, why would you want to build power plants that are 70% subsidized?
Now, I'm sure you're aware the production tax credit is being phased out, right? So there's a date certain where that goes away and going down every year.
This is about the fourth time it's been phased out. Every time, right at the 11th hour, they phase it back in again. So it'd be wonderful if they did phase it out, but I'm not holding my breath.
Does it change the economics of it if they do? I mean, from your perspective, does it make it, does it make more sense then?
Well, it would make less sense because the deals wouldn't pencil out as well if you took away the production tax credit. That's worth about 30% of the cost. I wish they would.
You're saying less sense for the developers.
Yeah, less sense for the developers, right?
Yeah, but they're already saying that they're baking that into the cake, if you will, that it's going to be down. Another thing I'd hear, I'm curious of your opinion of this, that you know, whether we like it or whether we don't like it, and to me, it's part of the manipulation that's gone on in some of these energy markets for a while. You had a case where, you know, there had to be so much green energy. For instance, North Dakota borders Minnesota. Minnesota has all kinds of restrictions saying, if your energy is coming in here, X percent of it has to be green energy, okay? And so if North Dakota said, you know what, the heck with green energy, we're not going to play that game, we're going to get out of the wind, Minnesota would still need the power, right? And already is exporting a good chunk of that. and the landowners here get the revenue rather than somewhere else. What do you say to that argument, that this is really about a train that unfortunately has left the station, and that's other states demanding, requiring a certain percentage of wind?
Well, yeah, it's very unfortunate. About 30 states have passed these renewable, they're called renewable portfolio laws, and they require the state to, that 10% or 20% or whatever it may be of their power comes from wind or solar. It just doesn't make any sense to have those laws. They do have them. Basically, they've been conned by the advocates of wind and solar. You know, what is, there's just no point to it. You know, I've gotten in trouble for saying it before, but really, you could just dynamite these things and plow them under, and no one would notice that they're gone, because the backup plants would smoothly take over. And we'd save money besides, because we're paying more for the wind and solar. We're paying, the taxpayers are paying, you know, 2.4 cents for every kilowatt hour it comes from wind. So there's really no point to it. We've been conned into thinking that this is going to prevent global warming, or it, somehow it's better than using other things. The traditional fossil fuels are very clean. Coal is a great fuel. It's really great for generating electricity. It's not the only fuel, only good thing. The thing it is good for is generating electricity. Natural gas is a premium fuel. We probably should be using the coal rather than natural gas for generating electricity. There's just no sense to it. I think it's the most incredible scam I've ever heard of. It's really slick, because everyone thinks they're doing something good for the environment by buying this stuff or subsidizing these windmills and solar power plants. It's not doing any good for the environment. In fact, the windmills are killing birds like crazy. It's great for some people who are making money off it. For instance, people who have rooftop solar, a lot of times those people who have a rooftop solar are actually making money. But they're making money at the expense of everyone else who's got to pay for it, because the power company has to have a full service connection to their house, and it has to be standing by ready to provide power every time the sun goes behind a cloud. But they don't get compensated as they normally would for having providing that service.
Now, the power companies, the utility companies here would tell you that the rate payer is getting a better deal because of the availability of wind. That by having wind in the mix, they actually pay less. That's what they say, and that's unanimous. That isn't just one of them sort of willy-nilly, but they do say that. Now, what the coal companies will say is, well, hey, we're the base load, that's what we have to be. That's how we're efficient. And if, wind is there and we're used to fill in the gaps when wind isn't there, then we've got to ramp back up. Then we got a whole different, you know, set of maintenance and costs and everything else at the plant. So I know there's definitely some issues here. One gentleman, I don't know if it's a gentleman or a lady, but a listener said to ask you about the depreciation component, saying that he is of the belief that 78% of the project is recaptured in the first 3 years, and that's why they're popular. Can you verify that?
Yeah, they have a special depreciation deal. They can depreciate the whole thing in 5 years, and 78% of the first 3 years sounds about right. If you have built a natural gas plant, you have to depreciate it over 20 years. So this short depreciation enables a tax scheme whereby a highly taxed company like Google, say, can come in and contribute some capital and actually make a profit at the expense of the government, because they end up paying less corporate taxes. It's called tax equity financing. It's just a complete ripoff of the federal treasury. And I like to say about the utilities that are, I'll tell you why the utilities love wind power, okay? Most utilities are allowed a profit that depends on how big their investment in capital equipment is. So if they're not restrained by a public utilities commission, the utilities are only too happy to build useless wind plants, because they can make more profit, because they becomes part of their rate base and they're allowed a bigger profit. It's really the job of the public utilities commission to restrain them from building these things, but the public utilities commissions are political and they're in on the deal.
Texter says, coal gets state and federal subsidies too. Are coal plants built out of the kindness of someone's heart, or is somebody making money off of it? I think we know the answer. According to the United States Energy Information Agency, wind will be the same cost per kilowatt in 12 years as coal power.
Yes, but that's not counting the backup plants that you have to have for wind power. coal doesn't need a backup plant. Wind power, you have to have a backup plant. So right away, you're doubling the cost because you've got a natural gas backup plant plus the wind plant. So it's a fake comparison to compare the cost of electricity at the plant fence. That's how they get that. At the plant fence, yeah, wind power probably, in a place that has good wind, wind power is probably can generate electricity for 7 cents a kilowatt hour. But it's erratic generation of electricity. Coal is a steady generation of electricity. It probably costs close to 7 cents a kilowatt hour, too, if the coal plant is a modern plant and conforms to very strict emission requirements and so forth.
All right, I want to ask you one last quick thing here, and then we need to let you go, but we'll continue this conversation. It's interesting, Norman. Solar. Is solar coming back? We're hearing about some solar projects in North Dakota, and it seemed to me like maybe this was having a resurgence of sorts. Is it?
Well, I don't know about North Dakota, but actually, solar, North Dakota, I don't think you have a lot of sunshine there in the winter, do you?
It's usually always sunny in North Dakota. Always.
Okay.
You didn't know that?
The days are short.
You're funny.
I don't know. I've only gone through North Dakota once or twice. But wind power, solar power is usually best in the southwest, in the desert, where it's never cloudy and where there's you're further south and there's less of a short day in the wintertime.
All right. Well, there are some projects and some rather large ones that are being proposed here now, and that part is new, so I thought it might be expanding a little bit. Norman, thank you for the time. He's a retired physicist. He's the author of A Dumb Energy, A Critique of Wind and Solar Energy. Thanks for the time. Thanks to a listener for suggesting it because I wanted to know, hey, are you want to talk about some other opinions on a couple of the wind sources you talk about a lot? Absolutely. Happy to do it and always give everybody a chance to have their voice heard here on the program.